Om Jnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha.
Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur expounded on the theme of the Nam Hatta. Hatta means marketplace. Giving the analogy of the holy name being sold, purchased and sold. The price for purchase is faith. And he described different roles within the market. He identified himself as a sweeper in the market, which is about the, in the marketplace, the sweeper, that's the, maybe the most humble job. Customer is king, they say. The person who's selling and the person that's buying, they're doing the thing for, they're fulfilling the object for which the bazaar is set up, but the sweeper is just instrumental. He's neither purchasing nor selling, he's just facilitating by making a better atmosphere. Nevertheless, the sweeper is required. There's no sweeper, then the place gets full of garbage, and why would anyone want to go there? Then it becomes a vayasam tirtham, simply a pilgrimage place for crows. So, even though that job is considered the lowest, it's a vital job, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur took what might be considered the lowest position, as a Vaishnava is very humble, although Bhaktivinoda Thakur is certainly in the highest position, the great Vaishnava Acharya, he identified himself as a sweeper. So from this we can understand that any service in Krishna's service, it's all transcendental. As Prabhupada often said, the devotee cleaning the temple is not on any less of a level than the pujari who is offering arati. Generally in India, when people come to a temple, they think the pujari is very high position and someone else not so high. But in Krishna's service, it's all transcendental. So cleaning up and making a situation suitable, in the allegoric language of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one function which acharyas have to do, and we find all the great acharyas, they spend a lot of their energy and a lot of their preaching is expended in describing what is not the absolute truth. Acharya means one who points toward the actual reality. But all the acharyas, they talk a lot about what is not the reality. Because before understanding what is the reality, we have to clean out so many misconceptions. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was also doing that. Nityananda Prabhu, as the ideal preacher or the chief preacher in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement, Prem Pracharan Ar Pashanda Dalan Dui Karja Avadhut Karen Brahma. Avadhut Nityananda traveled here and there preaching Krishna Prem and also Pashanda Dalam, subduing the atheists. Prabhupada translates this as subduing the two devas for two purposes: to preach love of God and to subdue the atheists. Lord Nityananda toured the country. So every preacher has to do this. And without doing this, we can't actually preach Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we think a very great devotee is one who only talks of Krishna and only talks of praying, but actually if we only talk of Krishna, then people will never understand Krishna. That sounds contradictory, doesn't it? But just like, for instance, when we go selling books, we'll door to door, or whatever, office to office, shop to shop, wherever, in the train station, just everywhere we should preach Krishna consciousness. In the hills, in the mountains, in the cities, wherever. So we find that many people, you'll open the door and you'll find this big picture of Sai Baba, thanks to the TV, this Shirdi Sai Baba has become immensely popular. Even here in Gujarat, where it was not particularly popular a short time ago, but has become immensely popular. So people, you give them Prabhupada's books, and every time they read Krishna, they interpret in their mind Sai Baba, because they think it's all the same. We find before this popularity of Shirdi Sai Baba, especially in South India, especially in Andhra Pradesh, the so-called Satya Sai Baba was very popular. And these people would, when we went for book distribution, they usually buy our books, his so-called followers, because they think it's all the same, and they read the books. But where Krishna is written, they think Krishna, Sai Baba, it's all the same. So to establish who is Krishna, we first of all have to disestablish in people's minds all the different misconceptions. Otherwise you can talk on and on for days, hours, weeks, years, and they're still running on the same basic misconceptions. So, it is required to dismantle misconceptions. How many misconceptions are there? Unlimited. And even if you could count them, even if you had a supercomputer or whatever that could count all the misconceptions in the universe, in whatever time it took to count them, in the meantime there would be another 4 or 5 which came up. Because Maya offers so many misconceptions. And we see in Vaishnavism there are so many misconceptions also. Recently, on my last visit to Ahmedabad, at the end of class, the class I gave there, someone asked a question which had absolutely nothing to do with the class. He said that, well, he was asking about the position of Vaishnavas who do not accept Nityananda Mahaprabhu. I said, what is this? This is a very strange question. What do you mean, Vaishnavas who don't accept the position of Nityananda Mahaprabhu? Why are you saying Nityananda? In Chaitanya Charitamrita it is discussed about those who accept Krishna but don't accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And why do you say not accepting Nityananda? Of course, those who don't accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they also don't accept Nityananda, obviously. But in the Gaurya Vaishnav Sampradaya, we worship Gaur Nitai, but the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Mangal, Chaitanya Chandradai Natak, these are, the center of worship is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Panchatatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. There are five tattvas of which the Swarup is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The other forms are in relation to him. Vandeshi Krishna Chaitanya, what is that? Vande Guru, first verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Vande Gurun Isha Bhaktam Isham Ishavatarakam Tat Prakasham Tat Chakti Krishna Chaitanya Sangyakam. Krishna Chaitanya is known along with his different manifestations, the gurus, the devotees, Vande Gurun Isha Bhaktam Isham, the Supreme Lord himself, who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Isha avatar, the avatars of the Lord, his prakash, or those into whom he imbues energy, and his shakti. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the sense. So why ask the question in this form? And why say Nityananda Mahaprabhu? Because again in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find Ek Mahaprabhu, Aur Prabhu Dui Jan, Dui Prabhu Shevi, Mahaprabhu Charan. There's one Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Nityananda and Advaita, they are known as Prabhu. And these two Prabhus, they serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the center. So by saying Nityananda Mahaprabhu, of course, it's not incorrect to say Nityananda Mahaprabhu in one sense. But on the other sense, the term Mahaprabhu is almost always reserved. We don't find in the ancient literatures Nityananda Mahaprabhu, it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But this giving more importance to Nitai than to Gauranga, and calling Nityananda Mahaprabhu, this comes from the bogus Nitai Gaurade Shamsambhada. So he's got this, why even ask a question like this? He's got the idea from the, to emphasize Nitai over Gaur, and to call Nityananda Mahaprabhu. Let's pick this up from some upper sampradaya. So, devotees pick up so many, I mean, it's quite possible to pick up many wrong ideas. Yesterday, Vasu Ghosh Prabhu gave me a brochure for advertising for a new ISKCON temple to be built, in which it's advertising the main attraction is the stained glass windows depicting Vedic mythology, or mythology, as they say in Indian English. This is a totally bogus term. Mythology comes, myth comes from the Sanskrit word mithya. So this is a British term. The British gave this word because they wanted to give the idea that the Bible is true, and what is in the Shastra, that's all mithya, myth. Myth means something which is just some, like some, well, the term was used prior to that to describe especially the Greek mythology, what they're talking about, the Greek gods, and something they consider to be something that people believe in but is not true. So why use this term? It's highly atheistic. And in an ISKCON publication, publication. That means you're going to preach. Yes, we're preaching Krishna consciousness. This is Krishna. This is stained glass window picture of Krishna and Balaram and maybe Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu and lifting Govardhan Hill and the sum total of it all, it's mythology. It's not true. But it's nice. There are people like that. There are Christian priests who openly say that they don't believe in God. But they say, but religion's nice. There are many Jews who, they follow the Jewish traditions, but they openly say, we don't believe in God. But it's our tradition, it's our cultural tradition. So we follow all these rituals, but we don't believe in any God. So that's the same thing. Have a nice temple and people can come and it's beautiful and we distribute free food and it's nice and we don't believe it. I don't believe all that stuff. I mean, we're more intelligent. That's believing in God. That's good for the simple people, but you know, actually believe all this. But it's nice and it sponsors art and some nice cultural things. Then what's the use? What's the use of any of it if it's all mythology? So that's just another example. I mean, there are probably hundreds of examples within our ISKCON today, which shows that then so many devotees, they never actually listened to what Prabhupada said, or they never believed what he said. Or they think they have something to add. Well, Prabhupada said this, and Shastra says this, and we can just take a little bit of this from here and that from there and make our own buffet system plate of something to eat. You don't really have... I mean, Prabhupada spoke very strongly, but you don't really have to believe that if you don't want to. It's just, you can believe it if you want. It's all right. If you don't, it's all right. So they make Krishna conscious like wandering in a fish market, and you can choose which smelly fish you want to buy. Of course, people who like to eat fish, to them it smells nice. But devotees, they don't go in a fish market at all. They may go there to sell Prabhupada's books. Otherwise, we have no business in the fish market of smelly, speculative ideas, where everything is sinful. Just to be in a fish market is sinful, unless you're selling Prabhupada's books. Otherwise, just to go there, just even the smell is contaminated. So the fish market of various speculative ideas. Get a PhD, become more... PhD means you're a speculator, that's all. At least in the generally accepted term, you have to come up with some new idea or some new thing which no one ever did before. And then you become accepted as an academic scholar. But Prabhupada always emphasized the point. And this is a very strong point in the Vedic cultural tradition, not to bring anything new. Don't bring anything new. What is old is perfect. What is truth doesn't need the new insights of some speculator to reveal. Already the acharyas have revealed everything. The shastra delivered through the acharyas delivers everything. You don't have to go to some university to get some new idea. The very concept that we'll get something better from somewhere else is in itself offensive. There used to be a time, not very long ago, where tradition was so strong, people were just to go, the very thought of going against it, there was something they couldn't do. Just like long ago I read a book about how in Bangladesh, Westerners or Western educated people would try to introduce some better farming methods so people could get better crops. And they'd call a meeting of the villagers and tell the people. And at the end, someone would say, well, our forefathers never did that, and that was the end of it. And they wouldn't adopt the methods. Of course, they found their ways to do it. But that was the mentality. That was the, our forefathers, what they did, we shall follow that. In this way, the culture was preserved. And of course, the book on Bangladesh was lamenting the woeful ignorance of people who didn't accept the gifts of modern science. And eventually, in the 1970s, the Green Revolution came to India, and they introduced modern farming methods, and the yields increased dramatically, and India became, instead of a net importer of grains, became a net exporter, and that proved how modern science and technology has benefited India over the old traditions, right? Not right at all. Now people are beginning to realize the Green Revolution in the long term, it's a disaster, just as it's been all over the world. The soil is spoiled. The old seeds are lost. People don't know the old farming methods, and thousands of farmers are committing suicide. It's practically a, it's almost like a genocide. It's like tens of thousands every year in India. Farmers, because their land doesn't yield, the soil is spoiled by chemicals. What can you do? It's typical of Maya. It looks very good in the beginning. Oh, we got so much fantastic yields. Of course, in the meantime, everyone's getting cancer from eating all these chemicals along with their grains. And after a few years of increased yields, now the soil is spoiled for generations. It's very difficult to restore. So maybe it would have been better just to follow the old traditions. But they thought that now we're making progress. So we think that we're making progress by bringing in new ideas. You've got something better. Someone's got something. We show how smart we are and clever we are by bringing in something which no one ever thought of before, import something from some upper sampradaya, Nityananda Mahaprabhu. So this means that so many devotees, they don't actually believe that Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Kuriya Aikya Arna Kuriha Manayasha. It's not without reason that Srila Prabhupada himself insisted that this Guru Puja be performed every day in every ISKCON temple singing this song, and he particularly emphasized these words. And he would time to time ask devotees, what do they mean? Of course, you being born in India, you could, I hope, easily understand these words. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya is the same in Bengali, Hindi, Gujarati, any language. Chitete Korea Aikya, and it's almost the same. It's very easy to understand. Ana Kariho Maneash. The words from the lotus mouth of the Guru, and we're singing this standing in front of Srila Prabhupada. I make it one with my heart and not desire anything else. Very significant words. we admit our insufficiency. And Prabhupada's sufficiency to deliver us the truth, the same truth that Krishna infused in the heart of Brahma, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kaviye, the same truth that Brahma passed on to Narada, Narada to Vyas, Vyas to Madhva, and so on through the chain of disciplic succession, the same truth. Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. All the details of Sambandha, our knowledge of our relationship with Krishna, Abhideya, acting in that relationship, beginning to act in that relationship, to revive it to the fullest point of Prayoja, Krishna praying. It's the same message. But people have many ideas. Hoya Mayar Das Kori Nana Abhilash. When we become the servant of Maya, we have many desires. And then that means many philosophies, many ideas. When we become the servant of Krishna, then Mame Kam Sharanam. Surrender to Krishna only. So, again, it's not just a matter of joining ISKCON and performing Guru Puja as a ritual. But we don't really believe in it. Yeah, we do all these things. We don't really believe in it, but anyway, we do it. Said the as I was saying, some Christian priests, that they actually say that. Well, we don't actually believe in God, but anyway. We do all these prayers, but we don't actually believe in it. So, unless we're prepared to actually accept what Prabhupada says, then there's not really any meaning in being his disciple or disciple of his disciple. But many things may seem to us better than what Prabhupada said. Prabhupada was so much against mundane welfare work. But we've adopted it. And we say it's not mundane because we're devotees and we're doing it. But wait a minute, devotees don't do it. Or there's an idea that, well, Prabhupada's too heavy, so we shouldn't preach like that. Only Prabhupada should preach like that. There's like Ritvikism. That only Prabhupada was qualified to initiate, only Prabhupada was qualified to speak the actual truth. No one else should speak the truth. Prabhupada very clearly and openly said that, he repeated the message of Shastra. Dharma projhita kaitava atra. Everything in the message of Srimad Bhagavatam from the very beginning kicks out cheating religion. So that means, again, pashanda dalan. We have to kick out atheism, agnosticism, bogus avatars, bogus gurus, karma, jnana, yoga, so many contaminations. And if we say, well, only Prabhupada was qualified to do that, then no one will do it, and then he won't get kicked out, and then the whole world will be full of cheating religion. Again, it's like Ritvikism. You say Prabhupada is the only one qualified to initiate, and Prabhupada's the only one qualified to speak that, so no one else should speak like that. Then what are you going to speak? We know no one should preach like Prabhupada preached. But Prabhupada didn't say that. The point is that, yes, well, to be a guru is heavy, because it means to go against the current of the world. And all devotees are meant to be gurus. It's not just for someone who's sitting on a big seat. Anyone who is a Vaishnava is automatically a guru. They must teach others. Vaishnava cannot be an enjoyer of this material world or a participant in the nonsense beginning to end. Everything about material life is simply nonsense. Simply. Totally. The devotees are not participants in that. So to be a devotee means we cannot live a comfortable life in this. Comfortable means one kind of comfort is to Hiranyakashipu, to have lots of money and comfortable bedding and air conditioning, fancy seats and carpets, that's one kind of comfort. But another kind of comfort is the mental comfort of being socially accepted. People are very afraid of not being socially accepted. People will speak badly of me. See, don't eat onions. Oh, see, whew, terrible. What a crime. You don't feed your children meat. Oh, how bad. Very bad of you. You get up early in the morning. Oh, terrible. You don't watch the TV. Oh, what a sinful person. Very bad person. Something very, very strange. So devotee, he has to live an uncomfortable life. We cannot expect, and Prabhupada often said, we cannot expect an easygoing life. And what will people say if I, you see, I left my home and joined this movement? And what will people say? You see, vagabond, irresponsible. That's it. Irresponsible. Well, what's the real responsibility? Is to remember Krishna, to think of Krishna, to serve Krishna. One who spoils his human life by putting his so-called material duties above his spiritual duties. And he's spoiling the opportunity of human life. So what is our responsibility? Our responsibility is to surrender to Krishna. But people will not accept this. Don't expect people to accept this. If you're going to be a devotee, then we have to go against the tide of human society. Don't expect a comfortable life. If you want a comfortable life, we cannot be a Vaishnava. It's not possible. As soon as we desire comfort, then we compromise. For so many years, our movement, people used to say, why aren't you doing something to help society? And we say, yes, well, we're preaching Krishna consciousness. Why don't you do something practical? Feed the poor, open hospitals, do some ICAMs, open school, teach people, open schools, to teach people how to become engineers, doctors. And we, for so many years, we used to say, no, we have a higher level. So, I mean, people wouldn't understand or accept. So now we're doing it, and we say, yes, now we're doing it. And people say, very good. Now you're very good. And they give donations. See, people, they're giving so much donations to help the Krishna consciousness, but they're not helping the Krishna consciousness. Helping material consciousness in the name of Krishna consciousness. And people are happy and they think now you've really become saintly. Now we've become demons like them, that's all. Because they're on the bodily platform and we've come down to the bodily platform. Manava Seva is Madhava Seva. Just feed the poor who don't, in many cases they don't like our food anyway, you see. I say, well, what's this? You see, no onions, no garlic, and other groups, they come and give us eggs and meat, and what are you giving us this? So, what is all this? Why are you giving this vegetarian food? So now it's nice, people praise us. Oh, you're very saintly. And we have a good reputation. But if we tell others that this mundane welfare work is violence, you're harming others by so-called helping them, by reinforcing their bodily concept of life, and it's mutual cheating. Both the helper and the helped are mutually cheating each other by reinforcing the bodily concept of life. That there is goodness. There is anything good separate from Krishna consciousness. That we will feed people so that they can, instead of being hungry and forgetting Krishna, they can have a full belly and happily forget Krishna. So then, and we're helping them. You're not helping them. They're now in a worse position, because if they're hungry, then you could preach the nature of the suffering of this world. Of course, we're not going to go out and start smashing people on their heads and saying, "Look, this world's suffering. Why don't you surrender to Krishna?" That's not a good policy. We don't like to see people suffering, but at the same time, we know that we cannot alleviate suffering by any other means than Krishna consciousness. We can distribute prasadam to poor people, to rich people. The rich people are also starving of Krishna consciousness. But to concentrate only, we're feeding the poor. Then we're collecting donations, we're feeding the poor. We're saying it again and again, and people believe it. And when they come, we tell them, and we repeat it again and again, we believe it ourselves. That the actual aim of prasadam distribution is to teach people that one should not accept any food other than Krishna prasad. It should be the only food. That any other food is simply sin, eating sin. But then if we start to do these activities, and we're speaking about it, then we start to think, yes, we're very good, like the Ramakrishna Mission, with the vegetarian version. So anyway, I mean, that's just one example. There are so many examples. Just in Ahmedabad, somewhere, unexpectedly, this Nityananda Mahaprabhu thing, and then yesterday, Vedic mythology. So in a brochure, in ISKCON, it says ISKCON, and it's Vedic, depicting Vedic mythology. How are they misrepresenting? Everything that Prabhupada came to teach, just in that one word, they turned it upside down. And they may go on teaching, apparently, the same things that Prabhupada taught, but just by that one word mythology, they negate everything else they're saying. Is this not rascaldom? It's just like the Mayavadis. They'll go on talking and talking. I've listened. On two occasions, I listened to speeches by public speeches by well-known Mayavadis. One was a North Indian Shankaracharya, one was a South Indian Shankaracharya, and they only spoke of God. In North India, he was speaking about Krishna Leela and Draupadi, how she surrendered to Govinda. It sounded pretty good. And at the end of the lecture, he said, "And you should understand that we are all God." And just completely negated the, you know, Who are you going to surrender to? If we're God, then where's the question of surrender? It just completely negates everything. So these Mayavadis, their talk may be very nice, but just that little injection of poison completely spoils everything. So how much Prabhupada was so much against Mayavada? It's all pervading. And how much he was against anything which was against the actual teaching of the absolute truth. So it's better to stick to this principle of accepting that there is a perfect devotee who perfectly knows the truth. There are many. Srila Prabhupada is the especially empowered, powerful acharya in the modern age, who, as every acharya must do, presented Krishna consciousness uncompromisingly, even though goes against everything that modern society, not modern society, any society, that's not based on the principles of the absolute truth, which means almost all societies in the history of the world, because after all this material world, people have come here for forgetting Krishna. So they make societies based on mutual cooperation for the purpose of forgetting Krishna. And the cooperation goes in groups, and then the various groups, they rival each other. And they fight with each other. And even the name of religion, they're fighting each other. But it's fighting or cooperating. It's all forgetting Krishna. So all the sociology, anthropology, psychology, history, it's all simply studies of people who are ignorant, avoiding Krishna. So better to study great devotees and their teachings. Better to find the reality, who is Krishna. Again, Krishna. Krishna means Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. Vyasadeva, Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna. Prabhupada is Krishna. Now, I was saying that in the last lecture, not the TV Krishna or cartoon Krishna or Bankim Chatterjee's Krishna or Gandhi's Krishna. No, actual Krishna. Better to be the most humble, insignificant, ordinary servant, actual servant of a genuine Vaishnava Acharya than a big scholar or someone who discovered something new or running some wonderful program, opening schools to teach the people of Vrindavan how to forget their culture and become a computer engineer and go to Delhi and get a job helping the people of Vrindavan by educating them how to forget their culture, because we've got something better. So better just to be a simple, straightforward follower. And that ordinary follower, that is extraordinary. It's not normal in this world for anyone to have actual faith in Krishna and the acharyas. That is not normal. The normal condition of this world is to forget Krishna. People are fighting all over, they're all fighting over their own favorite brand of forgetting Krishna. They're all fighting over various nonsensical idea. It's all foolishness. Many of them themselves, they realize, oh, it's all foolishness. What is this fighting? Put an end to it all, but they can't find the root. They themselves are part of the problem. People say, we want peace. But they want peace so that they can peacefully forget Krishna. So they're part of the problem. They're not, simply by saying peace and having organizations, Green Peace, Quakers Society, pacifists. They're part of the problem. Because everything that everyone does in this world, which is not in service to Krishna, is a kind of violence, depriving ourselves and others of our real position in service to Krishna. So everything that materialistic people say is contradictory. Their so-called sincerity and goodness and morality, welfare work, higher studies, it's all contradictory, it's all insincerity. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said it. Better keep away. Just as we have to keep away from horned animals, they're very dangerous. It's advisable, keep away from them. So in the same way, we should keep away from these people who profess to be well-wishers of human society, or saintly people, or cultured people, moral people. But without that, surrender to Krishna. Their morality is simply violence. People are, this Barack Obama got the Dynamite Prize, was it Nobel Prize? For reducing the nuclear weapons. So he's a very good man. Of course, no one's even thinking how to stop the slaughter of millions of animals, fish and chicken every day in America. Some people are thinking there's some society which has become quite prominent. PETA, I think, or PETA, I'm not sure how it's pronounced. How do they pronounce it here? You see, one said Peter and one said Peter. Do you know you're from America? I think the society is there. How do they pronounce it there? In Wisconsin, both ways. Yes. Maybe not such a good idea, that acronym, because it's not clear how to pronounce it. It's like the name K-O-C-H. How do you pronounce that? There was the mayor of New York, his name, I used to read it in the paper, but it's impossible by reading it to understand how to pronounce it. Just four letters, but it could be pronounced in about 10 different ways, theoretically. Anyway, they're very much, again, they're vigorously propagating ethical treat, it means people for the ethical treatment of animals. Don't kill animals. And they rapped Barack Obama recently for, in some public interview or something which was on TV, he caught a fly and killed it or something like that. So, he gets the Nobel Peace Prize for only killing flies and not humans. Only flies and cows and chickens and turkeys and like this. So, okay, it's good. Better don't kill animals. But then still they're killing the soul by not being Krishna conscious. So in many ways our message is inclusive. Inclusive means that it's maybe limited to certain people who are willing to follow certain restrictions and to accept certain principles. And preaching means we have to try to bring many people in. So if you have to try to bring many people in, then so many restrictions and such a rigorous message may seem to turn people off. So maybe make it more easy. But then the problem is, if you make it more easy, then it's no longer the real thing. Of course, to some extent, I mean, everyone's welcome to come to the temple and chant Hare Krishna. We don't say stop eating meat before you come. It used to be like that. The people who didn't follow certain Vedic principles, they weren't allowed to come to the temples. The untouchables were not allowed to come. Kshatriya caste, people who ate meat, they were allowed to come. But people who, from the untouchable caste, they were not allowed to come. So Gandhi made the temple entry movement. And then all kinds of people were allowed to come to the temple. But anyway, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, in many ways it's very liberal. We don't say, you follow everything, then you come. You say, you come, chant Hare Krishna, take prasad. But we have a message also. You come, you chant Hare Krishna, take prasad. But understand this message. We don't have to force it on people in the beginning, or tell them that you have to accept everything immediately. That would be fanaticism. We want to convince people with their intelligence, but at least those who are initiated, they should understand the principles of Bhagavad Gita as it is, Srimad Bhagavatam. At least the principles. You can't expect everyone to be a great scholar and understand everything, but people should understand these principles. As Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, he speaks. Bhagavad Gita is only 700 verses, but Krishna speaks quite extensively about how we are not the body, how the body and the soul are different. So there are certain principles that people should, if to be initiated means to accept certain principles. One principle of understanding that we're not the body is that welfare work based on the bodily concept of life is useless and misleading. So people should understand that, for instance. And that we have to take Krishna consciousness very seriously. It's in some ways, in Gujarat especially, maybe more than other parts of India, many people can appreciate this movement because vegetarian. At least, I of course, the number of vegetarians in Gujarat is probably decreasing. It used to be staunchly vegetarian. I heard some conversation with Srila Prabhupada. There was a discussion in Bhavnagar. Maybe this was during the British time. Someone came from Sindh to live in Bhavnagar. In those days, people didn't move so much, so it wasn't very usual. And he couldn't find, Sindhis are all meat eaters, even the Hindus, traditionally. I don't know how long, but even though the Hindus are mostly devotees of Krishna, still they're meat eaters. So he came to Bhavnagar and found that even the Muslims weren't eating meat because the social restriction against it was so strong. So then one place he smelt, and he went in and the people were trying to hide. And he said, oh, you got meat. And he said, how do you know it's meat? Because people don't even know what is meat. He said, I'm from Sindh. And I wonder. So he became part of that small secret club who were eating meat. It wasn't illegal, but the social stricture against it was so strong. Even the Muslims in many places, they were vegetarian because no one would do it. No one would talk to them, or they couldn't do business or anything. No one would have anything to do. So it was so strict. They say it's because of the Jain influence, but I don't know, because the Jain influence was also strong in Rajasthan and Karnataka, but we don't. Maybe it's because of the Vallabh Sampradaya influence. I don't know, but I'm not convinced that it's because of the Jain influence. Because like I say, in other parts of India also, the Jain influence is very strong. But they're not vegetarians. Anyway, in Gujarat it might be relatively easy for people to accept the principles of Krishna consciousness. And there's a natural feeling for Vaishnavism, maybe, and for Krishna worship, maybe more than in other parts of India. In UP, in most of UP, for instance, people are more inclined to Rama than Krishna. In most of the Hindi-speaking area. Then in South India, people, they may be more inclined to the Narayana, Vishnu. Or in Bengal and Orissa, many people, they know about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radha Krishna, but they're not inclined to stop eating fish and meat. So in many ways, people in Gujarat might accept this. But to accept the philosophy and the teachings, that may be more difficult. So we have to preach this also. And again, especially to our initiated, those who are going to be initiated, they should understand these principles. Otherwise, the danger is that many people may come being attracted by the pure life and the chanting of Hare Krishna, but then it's very easy to mix it up with mundane welfare work, and people think, oh, this is good. Or academic success, and people think this is good. But it becomes a deviation from the actual teachings. We become on the mundane platform, pious, but not understanding that we have to break our attachments to this material world. Go beyond the bodily platform and actually surrender to Krishna. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there. Unless there's any question. All right. Finished. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, who very kindly didn't cheat us. No question. You've heard all these things.